Tremaine Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here adjusting my screen so that I can possibly get myself a little bit out of the sun, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. So everyone who's watching, you will just have a weird shaft of light behind me from one of the doors that is open here.
Nice angelic glow back there, James.
Sure. Yeah. That's like what many people say about me. They call me angelic. That sounds like I'm doing an impression of somebody that I'm not. But anyway, Carlos, we are here to talk about the Rowdies because it is 2025, almost November, and the Rowdies might, despite everything that preceded this podcast and this past weekend in general, they might sneak into the playoffs for this season. It's not where I expected us to be right now based on a lot of other factors. But, Carlos, here we are, so we have to talk about this. We have to talk about some permutations. Yeah. And I believe that we actually have most of the permutations of how the Rowdies could move on to...
We have it down. Yeah.
Yes. That took some doing, by the way. We'll get into that a little bit later. But before we get into anything, Carlos, how are you doing?
James, I'm well. The Rowdies flag is being hung proudly behind me in my apartment. We have a chance at the playoffs, like a real chance at this point. And we've said this for a good chunk of the last couple months at this point, I feel, right? We've been saying we're right there. You know, it's possible. We could sneak in. And it didn't feel that way over the last month. It very much started to slip away, more so than it had at other points in the year. But by the grace of Wubens Pacias and Manu Arteaga and Alex Mendez, we still have a shot. It's incredible. I don't know how. It's typical Rowdies fashion. And we'll talk about this all in a second, getting ahead of myself. But I'm excited because of it. I'm excited we have one game left to play, and it's going to mean something, and it's going to be exciting. I wish I could be there for this one. I think it's going to be a really unique atmosphere because of, you know, the stakes, of course, but of course because of the help we need as well from another game that's going to come right after this game. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the excitement that comes with, you know, the same kickoff time, you know, on the last day. But certainly I think it'll be a unique atmosphere nonetheless. We'll talk about that all in a little bit. James, I'm excited. I truly just want to jump into it. I mean, I feel like it's all culminated in this. This could be our last preview. Right? Hopefully it's not. It could be our last preview of the year until, who knows, the preseason next year. But it's certainly our last preview of our regular season game. I'm really, really excited. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about from this past weekend's game, more importantly for this upcoming weekend. How are you doing, James? How's it going down there with your angelic glow in the Tampa Bay area?
I guess I can just hope that I'm not getting sunburned from the reflection of light off of whatever is pushing it in this window on the door. But you're right, Carlos. I think that there is a lot to talk about. We might as well just get into it here because we're going to be going through the permutations later, and we don't even know how long that is going to take. So last week, the Rowdies beat Hartford 3-2. It was nail biting towards the end, but we still scraped away with 3 points. And we are, like I said, we are in the race. We are still in the playoff race, and now we play somebody who is a direct competitor for that spot, that number 8 spot in the Eastern Conference, that is Detroit City. So obviously we will go through the review of the Hartford game, preview the Detroit City game, and we'll talk about how with other competitions, or with at least one other game I should probably list, Orange City versus Indy 11. That is how we have any type of path into the playoffs. So we're going to have to talk about all of that. Yeah. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow us on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. Carlos, get us going with a quick recap here before we talk about what happened in this Hartford game.
Yeah, James, you had no surprise with Bill Hamid continuing his spot or his role starting in net. Castellanos, Lasso, and Wyke made up the back line with Asokar continuing at the right wing back spot. Sorry to my dad for saying Asokar that way. I'm sure he'll get mad at me later. Juan Carlos Asokar. Out left, you had Joey Skinner getting the start here instead of Blake Bodily. That was one of his few starts of the year, so interesting there. Between them, you had Crisostomo and Mendez. Paul Marie playing more in the attacking midfielder kind of role. And then, of course, up top, Rubens Pesillas coming back from his international duties with Haiti, and Manu Arteaga, both of whom came up very, very big in this game, James. It was a game that, in typical Carlos fashion, when I've given up all hope and said we're probably going to get thrashed, and we play a dominating first half. Manu Arteaga gets the first goal of the game 9 minutes in off of a beautiful laser of a pass from Alex Mendez, who's just been so impressive with the Rowdies in just his few games here. Rubens Pesillas gets goal number two in minute 25 off an assist from Paul Marie. It wouldn't be until stoppage time of the first half when Hartford actually gets their first goal of the game. It was certainly an unfortunate goal to let in. Plenty of space on the back post for them. It was a really, really easy finish to actually put that ball away. A goal you certainly don't want to give up after the dominating first half that the Rowdies had. Rowdies came out strong still in the second half. You would get the first goal of the second half in the 56th minute, so it wouldn't take too long to get that third goal of the game. Alex Mendez would score one of the best goals I've ever seen a Rowdies player score, like point blank.
Yeah. Right?
You know, off the top of my head, Marcel Schaefer away to Cincinnati is probably number one for me. Joe Cole bicycle kick, two or three. I think Mendez is up there. I think Mendez is either two or three, at least in the last 8 years. That goal was ridiculous. It's not going to get its flowers it deserves because of where we are in the table, I don't think. In a better year, that goal is circulating all over social media. Gets into ESPN SportsCenter top 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful goal. Ridiculous curve, like ridiculous bend. It was incredible. Rowdies were falling to this lead, James, up until stoppage time when Michy Angelina gets Hartford's second goal of the game in the 93rd minute. Mm-hmm. This from Haji Berry. This is a Hartford squad that we know was playing incredible soccer. Obviously, they won the Jägermeister Cup. They beat Sacramento again a week after that. They've been on fire. They'd only lost, off the dome, I think three regular season games since we last played them over the summer. They have been a barn burner of a team. But they struggled. And the Rowdies will ultimately come up with a 3-2 win against what I think is undeniably the hottest team in the league. Maybe not the best team in the league, because I think that title still belongs to Louisville right now.
Sure.
But Hartford is the most informed, the hottest. Just it has been on another level in the last 2 months. Massive, massive win, obviously, in terms of staying alive in the playoffs for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Just broadly a massive win when it comes to the level of soccer that Hartford's been playing and what we were able to do for a majority of this game. We'll talk about the slip-ups here. Obviously, Hartford gets two goals that I think were relatively avoidable.
Yes.
At the end of the first half, and of course at the end of the second half, those are not times you ever want to be giving up goals, right? But overall, solid performance from the Rowdies. Certainly a dominating first half. Rowdies win this one 3-2 in a very, very, very fun, tense, in some sense, low stakes game, James. I think we're kind of playing with house money at this point, if that's fair to say. I wasn't expecting us to go in here and get 3 points, to be honest. So I was just, you know, enjoying the game. And ultimately, we've put ourselves in a position to get into the playoffs. James, should we talk about this really quickly? Should we talk about the standings real quick, figure out how we get into the playoffs, or do we save this for the preview?
Well, we can – let's give a little quick one for that, yeah. And then we'll go a little bit deeper into and talk about like all the different numbers that we need and everything.
There's a lot to break down here. So I'm like you said, James, I'm going to give you the high level overview. We'll talk about the results we need this weekend when we get into the preview. But of course, Louisville's still in first place with 70 points. Charleston, yada, yada. I don't really care. Let's just skip down to the important part, right? Hartford, third place, Pittsburgh, Loudoun, North Carolina, Rhode Island, whatever. Seventh, eighth, ninth place, Rhode Island with 38 points. Detroit is in that last playoff spot with 36 points. Indy 11 has 35 points in ninth place. And your Tampa Bay Rowdies have 33 points in 10th place. If you're doing the math, that's a 3-point difference against the team that we're playing this weekend. Massive, massive game. We'll talk about the result we actually need against Detroit this weekend. But of course, we're in a position to actually sneak in somehow. It's ridiculous to say that at this point in the year, but with the year we've had. But, you know, James, soccer is a crazy sport and the USL is it's a wacky league. So let's take advantage of it. Out west, Tulsa's still in first place. New Mexico's in second. Sacramento in third. El Paso's in fourth with 41 points. Phoenix with 39 points in fifth place. Colorado Springs is in sixth. Still pretty good soccer from them. 37 points in sixth place for Colorado Springs. San Antonio is in seventh with 37 points. And the last playoff spot at this moment is Lexington SC with 36 points. Ninth place, this is going to be important when we talk about what's going to happen this weekend. Ninth place is Orange County SC with 36 points, right? They're tied with Lexington on points, but they're just outside of the playoff spot. They're going to play their last game of the season as a playoff game. They need the win. They need a result to get into the playoffs and some help from Oakland, who's playing Lexington, right? Who is Orange County playing, James? You mentioned it earlier. Indy 11, one of our other direct opponents for that last playoff spot. It's all interconnected. We'll break it down a little bit more later on, but it's close. And those Western Conference games are going to be interesting. If you want to stay up for it, you should, hoping, you know, we get the right result. But there'll be some interesting playoff implication games out there late night on Saturday as well. So good soccer all around, James. It's a great advert for USL. I would love for all the games to kick off at the same time on the last
day. I don't know why they don't do that. It's the FIFA found out the hard way that you want to take that away and it's not going to work out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Nonetheless, we do what we can with what we have, and we'll have a good time this Saturday. Again, we'll talk about that later on. I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's a lot to talk about there, and it's exciting stuff. Essentially, a playoff game. James, let's talk about what happened this weekend to put ourselves in a position to actually make this weekend's game a playoff game. This is a game where I looked at who we were playing. I saw how well they were playing. I saw who they were beating, right? And I saw that they just came off of the Jägermeister Cup, beating an impressive Sacramento team in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
This team, this Hartford Athletic team, like I've said, is by all accounts the hottest team in the league. And the Rowdies came in to Al Lang Stadium with the support of the 4,500 Rowdies fans there and put themselves in a position to make this last game mean something. How the hell did we do that? Coming off of a 5-0 loss to Rhode Island that we were labeling at least the second worst loss of the season, at least the second most embarrassing loss of the season. How in the hell does a team go from that to beating the hottest team in the league and dominating them for a majority of the game? In my opinion, I'm perplexed. Take it away. First impressions. Yeah.
I think we all are a little perplexed, as you said, because not only was this a particularly good game from the Rowdies against Hartford, whereas last week, of course, we lost 5-0 to Rhode Island. Everybody's aware of that. But the previous week, we had also done pretty well in beating Monterey Bay. So I think that between, you could say probably we thumped Monterey Bay, but between that and then Rhode Island and then this past weekend's game against Hartford. Yeah, it's been a kind of hard one to follow for Rowdies fans. Last week, I couldn't tell you what the individual problem was. Like, I mean, I think that there might have been something up ahead of the game, not necessarily with planning about where you're going to be, but I think that possibly the players went out there and they were not in the right mindset or something. I don't know how else to explain how they were so flat-footed in multiple instances when they were supposed to be defending and ultimately gave up the five goals that they did. As I said, I only watched the first half of last week because it was I did not have the chance to watch it live. And so when I went to rewatch it, by the end of the first half, when it was already 3-0 and I knew what the result was, it was just like, okay, I think I have enough of a picture here. But
yeah,
I would say that there was something, a little deeper to the problems involved in that 5-0 loss to Rhode Island. Here, ahead of the game, whatever that was gone. And in all honesty, I kind of felt like Hartford stepped into this game looking at where we had been, and they said, we got this. I think that Hartford were a little complacent at times. And on the other end, the Rowdies did do, you know, some very nice work here and there. We're going to get to one of these players. Once we hit the first goal, which was obviously pretty early on, yeah. If I'm not mistaken. Before 10 minutes, I was going to say before 10 minutes, and it was. But that was really good work on the front end from Alex Mendez, whose assists there, that you are not going to see many better assists than that one, in my opinion. It took a lot of work for Manuel Arteaga to go from about the circle on the halfway line to the edge of the box for Hartford and ultimately score as well.
Absolutely.
It was a very classy finish, but still an incredible ball from Alex Mendez to put him in the position to be able to do that. So I really like the way that the Rowdies kind of handled this one. And I think that they put themselves in good positions to kind of counter Hartford or blunt Hartford's attack, because they will line up in a way that's relatively similar with their not quite 3-4-3, but something along those lines. And we were pretty well matched up with them, but we were also at multiple times able to shake people off and put people in the wrong positions. Somebody else that I'll get to later on probably, but I thought that we had one of the biggest things for me from this game were the two central midfielders, which ended up being Alex Mendez and Danny Crisostomo. Alex Mendez had a fantastic game on the attacking side, which is not to say that he neglected his defensive duties at all, because it was down to both of them to do defensive work. Danny Crisostomo did work attacking wise, but he was an incredible player on the defensive side specifically. Danny Crisostomo lined up a lot in this game and on the right side of the field, and that was possibly to allow Paul Marie to not have to worry about anything defensively. I don't know if that was the direct instruction or if it was something else, but Danny Crisostomo really helped Juan Carlos Osocar on the right side and really shored up that right back spot. Because obviously, I think Carlos, we've said this several times already, but Osocar is not maybe the best defender in the league. But he was doing well on the attacking side and helping out with Paul Marie. Danny Crisostomo was the one who was there to provide an extra number in any defensive situation. And God, he was absolutely everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. This is a very, very good game from him. But I really think that Danny Crisostomo's performance was indicative of a lot of players' performance. Lawrence Weick lined up as the left-sided center back, Forrest Lasso in the middle. And then it was Castellanos as the right-sided center back. We haven't seen that. Aaron Guillen came off the bench later on, where he has usually been starting. And Aaron Guillen, by the way, modern era appearance record holder of Saturday. 196 appearances for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So incredible in and of itself. But he came off the bench to do that. And the players that had started ahead of him, honestly, the performance was very, very good all around. I think that Joey Skinner possibly had a couple of moments that he would want back, but that might be the only player that I would say had a couple of knocks on him. One caveat to that, the whole team shut down twice, and both of those instances, of course, led to goals for Hartford. You mentioned earlier that those were probably two goals that the Rowdies should not be giving up. And I think both of them, the first one in particular, a player just wide open on the back post, like nobody near him, as if
three players.
As if as if the entire play was supposed to stop before Hartford continued with it. I'm not sure what happened with that one. If I'm not mistaken as well, both, and actually I have it right in front of me, so why don't I just check? Yeah, both goals came in stoppage time of the first and then of the second half. So maybe that's the Rowdies turning off mentally a little bit there, which is something we obviously need to not let happen. But outside of those two moments, truly, I think that it was a very good performance from most every Rowdies player on the field, and in particular, the two central midfielders, again, Alex Mendez and Danny Chrysostomo.
Yeah, I've been so impressed. I think Joey Skinner has been one of the random, quote-unquote, bright spots this season. There always seems to be kind of a player that sneaks up on you and has surprises you with their ability, you know, whether it's in their defending abilities or their attacking abilities. I think Joey Skinner is always just, for me, kind of the guy that was going to be some fine depth, maybe, if nothing else. I didn't think he would see many minutes. Obviously, Blake Bodley wasn't on the bench, I don't think, at least not according to FOTMOP when I've gone back and double-checked. So maybe there was a slight knock there. So obviously that throws Joey Skinner into the starting lineup. He's just had good moments this year. He's been solid. I think this game wasn't anything insane to write home about, but I thought he was just solid, right?
Yeah.
I thought he's someone worth highlighting because you mentioned that, you know, a lot of folks on the roster had a good game last weekend. I think he is an interesting one to highlight because, of course, he's not your typical starter. He played, did he play a full 90? Certainly started, right? And I think had a great, great game. Solid game, right? You mentioned the midfield guys, who I think are probably the most impressive in this game against Hartford. Arteaga obviously gets a goal here, but he was also so... just when he turns on, when he goes like just full adrenaline mode, you know what I mean? When he turns into like the dog Manu Arteaga that we've seen, you know, spurts of this year, he likes to, you know, get involved. He's physical, you know, he likes to chase down and a player.
Just
right?
To cut you off, I think that's what we saw on the second goal, especially.
Exactly. And that's what I'm thinking, right? That's the kind of the vision I had in my mind, right? He is not someone who's like insanely fast or anything, right? Like he's not going to be a player you rely on to individually press the goalie or something when they have the ball or cause some chaos by, you know, applying some pressure to a center back. The kind of prototype I have for that in my head has always been Juan Tejada, right? When Tejada played for the Rowdies, he was kind of the guy that was always applying pressure, causing some turnovers, chasing down the ball when the goalie grabbed it. Or you know, was on the ball and in his own half, right? Tejada is kind of like the prototype I've always had of that type of player. Arteaga is not. Like, he's target man, right? He can move pretty quickly, but he's not a speedster by any means. All of a sudden, you see him in this game chasing down the ball, kind of sneaking up on Hartford center back. I'm not sure which one it was. Goes in for like a little, you know, sneak attack, slide tackle, turns it over.
I think, by the way, I think that was Jordan Scarlett.
Was that Jordan Scarlett?
I'm almost certain it was.
Obviously a former Tampa Bay Rowdy. Mm-hmm. And he forces that turnover. Paul Marie picks it up in the attack, who we know has been, you know, incredible in his short time with the Rowdies as well. You know, dinks a little pass in for Arteaga that ends up finding Wuwitz Vasilis's foot and into the back of the net. So that's incredible from all three. Arteaga doesn't get on the score sheet or get the assist, right? But he makes the most impressive play, I think, of that goal. Wubens' is finish is really impressive. I think Paul Marie did a great job to, you know, be on top of the ball and ready to, you know, make that play happen. But I was like, I get so fired up when I see like dog Arteaga turn on. That's awesome. Yeah. We've seen moments of that throughout the year. Like, he gets physical. I'm thinking about the game in Birmingham a few weeks ago as well, where he chases down the ball and puts in a cross that I think Paul Marie actually finishes. So he got the assist in that one. But again, that's just from his probably part of the game plan, right? Apply some pressure. That's probably part of Dom's game plan, Casciato's game plan, right? But I think Arteaga did a great job in that moment. He's had spurts of that throughout the year, especially on the back end of the season. This was a prime example of that. It leads to goals. People make mistakes, right?
Yep.
The center backs make mistakes when you apply some pressure to them. They're not the best distributors. They don't hold the ball particularly well. So really, really good to highlight. I'm spending a lot of time talking about it, but I think it's worth it. I love that intensity at this back end of the year where all these games are finals, right? You lose this game, you're done, right? You're playing a final. Now you're doing another one this Saturday. That same intensity, it's going to carry you a long way, I think. So we'll see. You mentioned that goal, of course, that Angelina scores, assisted by Georgetown legend Jack Peniotu. love the kid, but yeah, I mean, that was frustrating to watch. You mentioned lots of guys on the back post wide open. I think it just collectively is the right way to describe it is how you said it, right? We turned off a bit. Just the whole team's positioning was just shifted way far left, exposed our back post very, very, very openly. But you get into the second half, James, I think that's where I'm not going to say more impressed, because I don't know if that's true. The first half was so dominant. I think why I'm so impressed by the second half is because you let in a goal right before the end of the first half, right? So that's kind of a backbreaker. You don't really want to be letting those goals in, like giving Hartford a lifeline and like momentum and energy in the locker room right before they come out for the second half and, you know, presumably take over and win like 4-2 or something, right? You don't want to do that. But I think we came out fine. I think we kept to the game plan, right? I think we controlled the ball still a lot. We were still creating some chances. I'm not going to say we created like a ton of dangerous chances in the second half, because I don't think that would be true. But you just needed one moment of brilliance, right? Let the ball fly, dude. I mean, we have guys who are taking more shots from outside the box than we've done in quite a while, honestly, right? The Rowdies, I've always wanted that, but we've never been a team that kind of peppers the net from outside the box. Alex Mendez is one of these guys who likes to let it fly, and justifiably so, dude. Let it rip anytime you have space if you're going to shoot it like that. Incredible. Honestly, yeah, incredible. Yeah. Right, so that goal falls. I mean, we can talk about that goal forever. There's not really much to say, though, to be honest, other than it was just a wonder goal, right? Catches it sweetly with the top of his left foot, bends insane ways and sneaks into the top left corner. Insane goal. After that, Hartford doesn't get a ton going. Hamid needs to make like one, maybe two big saves before the end of this game, when Hartford actually gets, you know, their second goal of the day. From who was that? Oh, it was also Angelina getting their second goal of the night, right? So again, another goal that's pretty avoidable. I think the guys are probably drained by this point. They've played a great game up until the 92nd minute. But we get a bit exposed on the back line, essentially. Like, we just got a little tired. Joey Skinner misses the ball when he goes in for the slide tackle there. And Angelina's wide open against Hamid. Takes that shot point blank. So could we have done a little bit better there, James? Yeah, right. Does it matter at this point? Like, I don't even think it's worth talking about, to be honest, because we have one game left in the regular season.
Yeah.
Might be our last one. Hopefully it's not. But
the Rowdies kind of already know what they have to do to avoid that. It's exactly. No mental lapses. It was just a mental lapse.
Exactly. There's not even a ton worth talking about here. Like, the reality is we played a good game for, I'll give you 80 minutes of really good soccer. Had some slow periods in there, and of course turned off for maybe 2 or 3 minutes on the back end of the first half and back end of the second half. Other than that, especially the first half, I felt was very dominant. I thought we had a great game. It was one of our better halves of soccer in the entire year. And we've had some good soccer, despite where we are. We've had some good moments. That was certainly one of them. We got the win, right? And at this point, that's all that matters. Just win, right? The scoreboard and by how much we win might matter a bit more this Saturday, right?
Right.
We're hinting at it. We'll talk about it in a second. But in this game against Hartford, it was literally just win. Find a way to win. Find a way to get 3 points and give yourself a chance to make something happen this week. Honestly, super impressed. I am so confused how we lost to Rhode Island 5-0. I don't get it, truly. It was awful, right? Wubens Pacias is not the difference between winning 3-2 against one of the hottest teams in the league and losing 5-0, right? He was, I mean, him and Blake Bodley was out this week. Other than that, a lot of this is the same. We're playing with the same team, right? I mean, the only guy we were missing last week is Woobs. So I'm so confused how we've managed to go from losing 5-0 to Rhode Island, who's a good team, but is certainly not Hartford right now, right?
Right. There, you would. You don't want to lose to either of them 5-0. But if we're going to lose to one, I would have expected it would be Hartford.
Yeah. I think playing at home certainly helps a little bit, right? You know, the grass is helpful. Playing in front of your home crowd is helpful, right? I hope we get a massive crowd this weekend because we didn't really see that this past weekend, right? So maybe that makes a difference, but I don't think it makes a 6-goal swing of a difference, right? Between losing 5-0 or between losing by 5 and winning by 1, right? Like that doesn't make any sense. So let's forget about that result as hard as it is, right? Let's throw that out because apparently the team can just do that. Like, okay, sure. We can lose 5-0 and then beat one of the hottest teams in the league. So if we can do that, screw it. Let's just win this weekend and win the whole freaking thing and then win the USL and then go to the Club World Cup and beat Real Madrid in the championship. Like, I don't care. We'll figure it out. It's not possible, but we can make something happen. I'm confused, but at this point, what else can I say except, sure, like, let's go for it. I'm happy with it. You know, I can't complain with where we've been this year. The fact that we were in a position at all to qualify is almost a miracle, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got on this game, James. Any other moment, any other player you want to highlight before we talk about our man of the match here? I think I mentioned the only thing I was curious about, which is Blake Bodley not being on the bench, right? No clue what happened. Maybe he got a little sickness, maybe an injury, whatever. We'll see this weekend if it was something, you know, bigger than just a week off, right? Nick Moon got some minutes again, of course, which is nice to see. We like having him back. Van Kaziel came in on the back end. He's been solid. Any other subs interesting here? Guillen, obviously you mentioned breaking the modern appearance record coming in for Wyke. Surprising that he was kind of relegated to the bench this game. But I thought our back line was pretty solid with the three we had back there. I think that's about everything I wanted to mention.
I will just highlight, since you brought it up, Aaron Guillen not starting and Lawrence Wyke in a position where he was on the left side of the defense. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind Wyke, Lasso, and Castellanos in this one. I think that we've seen ups and downs from all of them. Probably of those three and Guillen, I would say Wyke has been the most constant. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the back line is for Detroit City. They might have to take into account different considerations, which we'll get into a little bit later, obviously. But I did not mind Wyke there either. And like I said, Lasso and Castellanos did pretty well in this one. So, it's probably going to come down to who does well in training over the course of this week, as far as I could imagine. But, Carlos, let's get into the man of the match, if there's nothing else.
Yeah. James, I have a clear man of the match. I think it is one of the easier ones I've had to pick recently. And it's, of course, Alex Mendez. What a freaking game, man. Oh, my God. Obviously, one of the goals of the season, potentially. Ridiculous finish there. But was involved in so much of the rather limited attack we had in this game. I mean, we had a lot of the ball, created some chances. Here's a stat for you, James. We had 3 shots on target. Guess how many goals we had? That's an insane conversion rate. So, right, when you're not like creating a ton of dangerous opportunities, right, you're going to need a special moment, like an Alex Mendez type of goal, to put you over the finish line. And in this case, that's quite literal. Like, without that, we tie the game 2-2, right? Incredible goal, insane assist on the first goal. It was awesome to see, just a beauty of a ball. Like you said, Arteaga did a ton of work to actually make that finish happen. But Mendez really launched that play from our own half. Awesome stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's my clear man of the match. Obviously, the goal pushes him over for me, and quite literally pushed the team over potentially into a playoff spot. But we'll talk about that. So yeah, Alex Mendez, fantastic game, fantastic game. What else can I say about him? Just, it's been awesome seeing him settle in so quickly with the Rowdies in a matter of a month and a half, maybe 2 months. Crazy.
Yeah, I would say Alex Mendez as well. Other than while I was at the game, the other player that I had already talked about, I saw him all over the place, and I saw him doing incredible defensive work, covering everybody. And I was watching the game with Eureka, so I said to him, that's going to be my man of the match, and that was Danny Crisostomo. Alex Mendez and Danny Crisostomo, I don't know how much they are used to just being a pair in central midfield. I think Alex Mendez is more used to being in an attacking role where he is like an out and out number 10. I think Danny Crisostomo is more accustomed to being a number 8 than the one who actually sits in front of the defensive line. But God, they had an incredible game together. And Danny Crisostomo, for all the defensive work he put in with, I guess, my defender's heart, I wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out on this one. And I said to Eureka multiple times, this is the best game I've seen Danny Crisostomo play in a long time. So that's why he was my man of the match for this one. And yeah, there we have it. So liking and subscribing is free, but if you think you might need some new threads for hopefully a playoff run coming up relatively soon for the Rowdies, you can support our podcast as well by heading over to shop.rvlrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description, or you can click on what Carlos is pointing at right now. You can use the promo code COYR for 10% off of your order if you find something you like, when you find something you like. And we hope to see you in RVLR gear at some games coming up. Now, Carlos, we have a game coming up. We have one guaranteed game coming up. We don't know about more than that, but we have one guaranteed game that's coming up. Anybody who's listening to this, if you do not have tickets, you need to get tickets. If you are listening to this live, if you were listening to this on the podcast, if you were watching this afterwards, I don't care. If you do not have tickets, you probably do. But if you don't, get them. Tell other people that this is the game to go to. If there was a game this season to go to, it's this one. There's so much on the line. We need to be there. We need to fill Al Lang, and we need to try and get this team over the line. Over the line, everything that is on the line.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times more of that is going to pop up, but I'll turn it over to Carlos so I don't keep using the same word here.
Yeah, James, this is going to be it's going to be a time, right? I mean, that's about as much as I can say, right? It's just going to, it's going to be crazy. We haven't often been in a position like this where it's kind of coming down to the final day. In terms of like, are we going to sneak into the playoffs, right? We're going to need help from this person or this team, right? We've had, you know, some games that we would have liked to get on our way in the past to get like an extra home game or something, right? Or to get the 3 seed instead of the 4 seed or the 2 seed instead of the 3 seed. But very rarely in recent memory have we had a moment like this where we're going into a weekend's game, right? We know what we need, and we'll tell you what we need in a second. And we know what help we need from another team as well. Like, it's going to be a really, really interesting, unique atmosphere. It'll be a great time, I'm sure. Fan appreciation night with fireworks, right? There's a lot, obviously, riding on the game. But of course, it'll be independent of whether we get into the playoffs or not. It will be our last home game, barring some ridiculously impossible circumstances. It'll be our last home game, which means that you should be there. You should go enjoy the last game with your Ralph's Mob, Skyway Casual friends, and, you know, hopefully 6,000, 7,000 other really, really intense Rowdies fans. Yeah, like you said, James, bring everyone you know to this one. This is it, right? It's going to be so fun. I think it's kind of the peak of what makes soccer kind of interesting, right? It'll be like the last day excitement, even though, again, it's not kicking off at the same time. But it's gonna be really, really interesting. go to the game, bring all of your friends, pack out the stadium. And I think if nothing else, let's end the season on a good note, right? Let's go in there, pack out the stadium, hopefully get a result. And then hope another result goes our way as well. So I think there's a lot of value in ending the year with great vibes, looking ahead to next year. There's a lot to be excited about, new ownership, new coach, right? Let's close out strong and you know, take what we can out of this 50th year anniversary season. James, I'll tell you who we're playing against this weekend. Detroit City at Al Lang Stadium, 7:30 p.m. Detroit has three more points than us. If you've never watched soccer before in your life, that's one win and a better goal differential than us. The other game we need to pay attention to, like we said, is Indy 11 versus Orange County. That game starts at 10 p.m. according to USL. It says 11 p.m. on FotMob. I think the right time is 10 p.m. And what we need in that game is an Orange County win or draw, right? We can't have Indy win this game if we want to get into the playoffs.
Right.
The other thing that needs to happen is we need to win, of course, right? We need to equalize with Indy on point or with Detroit on points, but we need to win by at least two goals. Everyone write that down. It's a little confusing. It's straightforward now, but once you look at the tiebreakers and kind of how we came to that conclusion, it gets a little confusing. But all you need to know is that the Rowdies need to win by two, and Indy cannot win against Orange County.
Right.
So we are all massive Orange County fans this or Saturday night, and the Rowdies need to win by two. Okay, we can tell you about the tiebreakers and why that is in a second, but that's the setting. Level set, right? Context, setting, everything set. That's what we're going into with Saturday night, okay? So, James, it'll be fun. We need to win, and we need to stick around and support Orange County and St. Pete, right? You know, kind of rouse them on to a victory all the way from Al Lang Stadium, which is kind of ironic if you think about it. But let's focus on Detroit first, and then we can talk about maybe Indy and Orange County for a second. Detroit usually plays in a 3-5-2 with Carlos Herrera in net. In behind Devin Amumensa, Stephen Carroll, and Shane Wheat. In front of them, you have Haruki Yamazaki and Alex Villanueva with Reese Williams and new signing, by the way, Kobe Hernandez-Foster, who is a name we've come to know relatively well in the USL over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Up top is Yesiel Sereno with Darren Smith, oh my goodness, and Alassane Diouf. James, how do you say that first name? Do you have?
I would say Alassane, but also I'm not Senegalese, so I don't. I'm not sure that I've got that.
Doesn't matter. Darren Smith has 10 goals, most from the first half of the year, and our friend Alassane Diouf has 6. Okay. I think what we can expect in this game is a potentially low-scoring affair, which is kind of funny to say because we need to win by multiple goals. But Detroit doesn't score a ton of goals this year. In fact, they've only scored 32 games in the USL Championship play. There's only two teams that have scored less goals than them in USL play. One of those is Miami FC. Ironically, the other one is Rhode Island FC, who scored 5 goals on us. So don't put a ton of stake into that, right? Because apparently if you score tied for the lowest amount of goals in the Eastern Conference, you can still put 5 goals on the Rowdies. But that's the context Detroit is coming into this game with. They don't score a ton of goals. They are okay defensively. They've let in 34 goals. For context, the Rowdies have let in 49, right? But we've known that the Rowdies defense this year has been one of our weaknesses. So I don't think that's anything all that surprising, right? Our attack has kind of found itself recently, right? Ruben Macias has found himself recently in terms of scoring, right? I think it could be possible, but Detroit is also playing this game as a playoff game, right? I don't think that's something we've talked about because we've talked about what the Rowdies need to do. We've talked about what we need Orange County to do to help us out.
Right.
Detroit is playing this game as a playoff game as well, right? Because if we sneak in, Detroit's out. Exactly. It's not like this isn't like a game against let's say Rhode Island, right? It's not a game against Rhode Island where even if Rhode Island loses, like they're still in the playoffs. Detroit is playing a playoff game, right? We can only get in at their expense. So it's going to be an incredibly intense game. I'm really, really excited. I'm really, really fascinated by how it'll look on the field. I'm so excited for, you know, hopefully a 2-0 win, right? Or 3-1 or 4-2 or whatever, or 5-0, who cares, right? I'm excited about what the energy will be following that for the Orange County and Indy game. So there's a lot to take in here, James. First of all, tell me, how do you think this game is going to go? How do we match up against Detroit? What are your confidence levels that we can actually get the result against Detroit to put ourselves in a position where the game between Orange County and Indy even means anything?
Well, so again, if we look at Detroit, frequently, not always, obviously, but frequently, they will line up. Actually, I would say in a relatively similar formation to what the Rowdies have been doing recently. So more in the last couple of games with Wubens Passius involved, I should point out, we will have Wubens Passius as a player that sits behind Manuel Arteaga, but obviously is able to get up and involve himself very high up in the play. Paul Marie is the most active of the creative players on the field. He's the most active in trying to create chances. And then in this past game, if you want to look at the options here, it was Alex Mendez and Danny Crisostomo again, who were frequently running deep, running cover for the defense and helping out back there while also involving themselves in the attack when possible. As we saw, to very good effect with Alex Mendez on the third goal. Remember, though, the first goal that the Rowdies scored, that was Alex Mendez's assist from pretty much outside his own 18-yard box. So just keep that in mind. I would say that Detroit City play a relatively similar game. And Sedeno, who is Ecuadorian, by the way, Carlos, if you're unaware, but Jessiel Sedeno, the attacking creative midfielder behind the strike partnership of Darren Smith and Alisson Diouf. So Darren Smith, I thought that he was going to be a very good player over the course of the season because of how well he started. I don't remember what it was like at this point, but it was goal for several games in a row to start the year. And I don't think he has scored in a very long time, like since summer, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember exactly when, should have looked that up. But regardless, at this point, I really don't think that there's a lot of attacking threat for Detroit City. Carlos already talked about the numbers in terms of their goal scoring, so that's positive for us. We can do a good job defensively, where we probably have not done the best job defensively over the course of this season, and including, of course, very recently. On the other side of things, we have really started to find our stride in the attacking side. Paul Marie has been a big catalyst for that. Alex Mendez now has come in and been a big catalyst for that. So that's also very positive. I like both of those. I like both of those players in these attacking positions. And not only have those two done pretty well, but now, if I'm not mistaken, both Arteaga and Passius are on double digits for the season. And Wubens Passius in particular has been doing well. Actually, Manuel Arteaga has probably been doing better of the two of them recently. But that's actually saying something, because Passius has been doing pretty well in the last couple of games. I'm sorry, Arteaga still has 9 goals, so he could hit double digits in the league if he scores in this game versus Detroit City. Yeah. Either way, all of this is kind of coming together. You don't want to say it's all coming together perfectly for the Rowdies, because we shouldn't be in this position and what have you. It could also just not work out if Indy wins their game, which we're hoping they don't, of course. So there are options here and there that could prove to be a problem for us getting into the playoffs. But at the same time, there's a lot to be positive about. And I think that the Rowdies are going to be able to match up with the attacking threats down the wing for Detroit City. We obviously have the option because we also play with wingbacks, but we saw how well Danny Crisostomo did as a defensive addition, you could say, and a defensive addition this past weekend playing against Hartford, who also like to play with wingbacks. So I'm relatively positive that we have the pieces in place, provided that Detroit play the way that they mostly have been. If they try to switch things up, we will have to switch things up a little bit on our own, but that's probably not something outside of the possibility for Dominic Casciato and co. So, I'm again, we can't be overly optimistic. This is a sure thing, 3 points in the bag, and we just got to wait it out on the other coast. But again, a lot to be positive about here, and really a lot of good reasons to get yourself out to the game, in my opinion.
Yeah. It'll be, like I said, it'll be super unique experience, super unique atmosphere, you know, hopefully getting that win and then waiting for the result from out West. I think this will be a really, really fun affair, right? Like I said, Detroit's playing this game like a playoff game as well. It's going to be, it worked out really nicely that the last game happened to be between two teams that are duking it out for that last spot. So, good job to the USL script writers, for setting it up that way and having us be, in a fun matchup against Detroit for the last, spot. This will be a fun one. If anybody cares how we came to the conclusion from the tiebreakers and the result we need, like, you can look it up online. You can go to the USL Championship website. On the table, they have their tiebreakers. It's not all that complicated. It gets a little wonky once you get to tiebreaker number 3, when it's points per game versus in conference opponents. But all you need to know is that we, hypothetically speaking, if we're tied with both Indy and Detroit on points, we would beat both of them in these tiebreakers, right? Against Detroit, we have, hopefully, right, if we win by more than 2, we would beat them in the second tiebreaker, which is goal differential and head-to-head matches, right? If we're tied with Indy, because we win and Indy gets a draw, right, we would beat Indy in the first tiebreaker, which is head-to-head points earned in regular season games. Regular league games, right? We beat Indy away and we beat Indy at home, so we have them beat there. Again, all that we need is a 2-goal win against Detroit and Indy to not win, right? We need Indy to draw or lose, and that 2-goal win, and we'll be all right. Pretty straightforward. A little wonky, but pretty straightforward. James, it's going to be fun. Like I said, bring everybody you know out to this game. Let's make it happen. Let's fill out Al Lang one more time this year and see what we can do. Is it time for predictions?
I'm ready if you are.
Okay. I'm going to give you my prediction. I'm going to say we get exactly what we need. No more, no less. And we get a 2-0 win. I'm basing that entirely off of vibes. And a little bit of like statistical analysis here, and like kind of, you know, seeing how we match up against Detroit. They don't score a lot of goals. I'm hoping our defense can get the shutout when we most need it, right? I'm feeling the vibes of a 2-0 win. Call me, you know, a hypocrite, because last week I was saying it was pretty much over, right? I was saying, you know, we're gonna get thwarted or thrashed by Hartford. But here we are. It's another week. We managed to get the win against Hartford. Why not carry the momentum in to a 2-0 win with a shutout against Detroit? And then keeping our fingers crossed for a positive Orange County result. James, what do you got?
I am going with a 3-0 win for the Rowdies, while Eureka has also chosen a win for this game, a 4-1 win prediction from him. So there you have it. There you have all the permutations. There you have our predictions. There you have the breakdown of Detroit City as well. If you have any other stuff to say, get at us on social media, I suppose. But Carlos, are we ready? Have we previewed this game fully and to the extent that you want it?
I think we have. I'm looking at the Orange County and Indy, you know, matchup here a little bit. I don't really have a ton of takeaways here. I can't say I've watched a ton of Orange County soccer this year. They have a friend of mine who was in my class at Georgetown, and Chris Haygart, who I love to death. So I hope he has the game of his life against Indy.
Yeah, right. There we go.
So, I mean, that's about all I can say. They haven't had a great year, but like I said, they're also in contention for that last playoff spot out West. For all intents and purposes, that will also be a playoff game. It's going to be exciting soccer, if nothing else. I hope, obviously, we can get this really exciting two-goal win against Detroit, because this game between Indy and Orange County is also going to be pretty thrilling to watch, particularly as a Rowdies fan looking for a result. It's going to be a really, really intense game there as well, independent of the Rowdies game, right? It'll be a good game to watch. So roll Orange County. It feels weird saying that, but let's do it. Let's get a result and, you know, see what we can do, us Orange County fans against Indy 11. Okay, James, that's it. That we're talking about the end of the regular season. It's incredible. It feels like it's flown by. It's been such a wild whirlwind of a year. But that's it. We just did the last preview of the regular season. Crazy to me. Okay. Not last extra time of the regular season. That'd be last next week. Second to last extra time of the regular season, James. You have a note here about the U.S. men's national team playing in Tampa. When are they playing here, James?
Yes, indeed. They are playing in Tampa, and it's been a while since I think either team played in Tampa. I don't remember when the men's did. I actually remember a game in 2006 after the World Cup. It was Bob Bradley's first in charge against Ecuador, of all teams.
I was there.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, both of us were there, I suppose.
Yeah.
So there was that one, and I've been to a U.S. Women's National Team game relatively recently for the She Believes Cup. I don't remember what year that one was, but on November 18th of 2025, the U.S. Men's National Team will play again at Raymond James Stadium. So that's pretty cool. The tickets right now, if I'm being perfectly honest, are not that great. I'm personally waiting them out. And I'm going to see if Ticketmaster drops. And if they don't, then I'll bite the bullet and I'll buy the shitty seats for the best prices. But that's where we are right now. If you want to wait it out with me, then hopefully we can all collectively pressure Ticketmaster to be less shitty than they are.
Did you see you hear that dog barking outside? Isn't that crazy?
Seems angry.
I'm on the 9th floor. Like, that's insane. Ticket package. I saw this and I have no like link to it right now, so I'm kind of just talking off what I remember. There's like a $40 ticket package out there for both a Rowdy's ticket and the U.S. men's national team ticket.
That's right.
It's kind of crazy. Go look for that. I don't have it pulled up right now, so I can't tell you where to go, but I saw it from the Rowdy's. It's a $40 ticket package, and you get a ticket to the Rowdy's game and the U.S. men's national team game. That's kind of crazy because I think the U.S. tickets are $40 or something like that. So if you don't have your Rowdy's ticket already and you want to go check out this USA game too, seems like a steal. By the way, I think the last time the U.S. was here was in that friendly against Colombia. And I want to say that was like 2018. Hold on. I'm going to fact check myself. Oh, I was on the money. October 11th, 2018.
Nice.
USA versus Colombia. That's the last game I remember here in Tampa. I don't know if it actually is the last one in Tampa, but yeah, it's been a while nonetheless. That game between USA and Ecuador back in 06, might have been 07. Fun fact, my first ever professional sports game. I was four or 5 years old. It was my first ever game. Of course, it was an Ecuador game, and of course, it was against the U.S. I remember it so clearly. One of my earliest childhood memories. Soft spot in my heart for that game. Other note I'll throw in here on extra time, speaking about Ecuadorian soccer, is that the team I follow in Ecuador, Liga Deportiva Universitaria de Quito, or LDU, is playing a Copa Libertadores semifinal this week, James. It's insane time. Insane times in Carlos's soccer life. Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. If you have a way to watch it, I want to say it's on Bean here. Certainly Fanatas is a way to watch it, but I hate Fanatas. Copa Libertadores semifinal, Liga Deportiva Universitaria de Quito versus Palmeiras, who of course had an insane showing at the Club World Cup recently. It's probably the last time most people were exposed to them. Liga's had a crazy run, James. They've beat already two Brazilian teams on the way to the semifinal. In knockout rounds, including Botafogo, who beat PSG just several months ago, right?
Yep.
At the Club World Cup. Liga's been having a pretty crazy underdog run. It's not their best team in the last few years by any stretch, but they've just, you know, when you're hot, you're hot, right? It's going to be a really fun match to watch. If you want to watch some really exciting kind of pinnacle of South American soccer, Copa Libertadores, like these late rounds are insane on the pitch, and they're even crazier off the pitch. The atmosphere in Quito is going to be insane. 8:30 p.m. on Thursday. There's a few ways to watch it, if you know what I mean. Check it out. Okay, James, that's my plug for Liga de Quito. It'll be a really great one on Thursday. But more importantly, for the sake of this podcast, is this weekend, get out to that game, man. It's like our attendance hasn't been insane this year by any means. This is a chance to really kind of right the ship, both in the stands and I think, of course, on the field. So I think there's a really, really great opportunity here to end things on, in, you know, looking forward, right? With the right foot forward, stepping into next year, hopefully stepping into the playoffs, but really ending the regular season on a positive note, I think is going to be really, really important. James, I think that's all I have to say. Anything else to add on this game?
No, I think that we're in a good position for this one. Not only with the game, but also in covering it. So good job to us. But thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We always appreciate when you do. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. Any other ones that I forgot, we're also there too at RBLR Sports. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR or you can reach Carlos.
At CarlosTPA10. Let's have a freaking week. Let's make it happen.
There we go. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube where you can see the so described angelic light behind me. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. Again, wherever you are, we're there too. So for another week and another win in the bag, expect it or not, and with another one coming up, come on you rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.